19. And I want to talk primarily in instruction to the young people, but all of us can glean from this what God would have us to glean. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus Himself is speaking. Let me get over there to the right place. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, I'm sorry. Jesus says this, and He saith unto them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I don't know, I probably, most of these people are younger than I am. Some of them are a couple years older. But you young people probably done this, and we've done this. You remember playing a game, follow the leader. You remember that? And whatever the person did, that's what you would do. So I'm going to ask the school children right now to do something for me. What I do, I want you to do it, okay? Can you do this? It's not too hard, is it? Okay. Everybody got their Bible up that has a Bible? All right. Raise them real high. Then put them right back here. Put your hand over the front of the Bible. We say the pledge to the Bible at our school. We say the pledge to the American flag, Christian flag, and the Bible. Now, I would not purposely lead you to do something that was wrong, purposely. I might lead you to do something wrong, but I wouldn't do it on purpose. I said the other night in a sermon, and now we can put our Bibles back down. I just wanted to get your attention there a minute. But I said the other night in a sermon, I would rather be dead than to lead these children in the wrong path. As a father of two sons, my wife and I, you know, did the best that we understood to know how and learning. Never been a dad before, so I had to learn from scratch. And I had all kinds of suggestions, but what I learned from the Word of God. And what I found was this. When I was just a little boy, a young boy, my parents, they believed in spanking. And I was a good kid. Really, I was a good kid. I really was. I know that's hard to believe, but I was. My brother was the mean kid. But they whipped us both. But you know what? Why they disciplined us? You know why? Because they didn't want us to get in trouble. They wanted us to follow them as they followed Christ. Now, in your life, and we'll talk about this in a minute, the people that God has given you to instruct you, to lead you, and to guide you, are your parents. Y'all thank God you got good parents. Love the Lord. Love you. You know, you really should. And then you come to church and school, and this is the spiritual leader right here, Brother Reynolds. Now, that's an awesome responsibility. But you know, when the Lord said to the disciples, He said, follow Me, I will make you fishers of men. You remember when Paul said, these things that you've both seen and heard in Me, do? And I'm going to tell you, that's easier said than for it to be done, you know? For Paul to have that testimony and say, listen, these things that you've both seen and heard Me do, you do those things. Now, that's pretty good. I think, like we've been talking about, most of us would say, I've done things I shouldn't do, and you shouldn't do those things, and I'm not the best example. But Paul said those things you've seen and heard in Me, you do those things. Now, that's our goal as parents, as pastors, as teachers, as grandparents, is to lead you in the right direction. But Jesus is the one that we follow, and He says, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. Have you ever thought about your leader, really, is the Lord Jesus Christ? We're to follow Him in all things. You know, my dad is 87, and a couple years ago at the Antioch Baptist College, they called and they wanted to honor my dad. And we went there and they gave him a big sword, and on the plaque it said, his hand never left the sword. A lot of these people know my dad from Arkansas and Ohio and stuff. And what a giant for God He's been, you know.
and a hero and a man has stood for the truth and the faith and all of those things against all odds, really, all kinds of people that tried to run us out of town and ruin our reputations and all that, and God has used him in a mighty way. My brother was there that day. My brother lives in West Virginia, and he's a deacon and Sunday school teacher in a church there in Taze Valley and Hurricane, West Virginia. And I asked Brother Farrell, he's in charge of college, I said, can my brother pray after I speak? They want me to tell some things about Dad during his life and stuff. And my brother got up, and he's emotional like I am. And he said this. He said, my dad never told me to do anything that was wrong. He always led me right. He always told me right. Now that's a good testimony. And you know, I have to say the same thing. I will say this to young people. You may not always understand and you might not always agree, but here's what you'll find out. My dad and I haven't always agreed on everything. We've not always said it quietly. But you know what I found out? He was right. I learned the hard way. He was right. So as we follow Christ, Christ puts some people in our lives that are there for our protection, for our guidance, for our help, for our instruction. And we ought to honor them. We ought to honor these people. These preachers are here this week. They're here to be a blessing and a help to this church, the pastor, and you folks. That's why they're here. They're here to teach you from God's Word the things that will help all of us to be what God would have us to be. Number one, Jesus will lead you to dedicate yourself to the will of God. Amen. Where will Jesus lead us? We're supposed to follow Jesus. He will lead us to dedicate ourselves to the will of God. Now, the best place in all the world to be is in the center of God's will. None of us are the Holy Spirit. I don't know what God's will is for your life. I know what God's general will is for all of our lives, young people, adults, older people. God's general will we find right here in the Word of God for all of us. But His specific will for where you pastor or where you're a church member or where you attend a Christian school or whatever, that's between you and God. I've had people come to me and they say, Pastor, how do I know God's will for my life? How do I know if He's leading me there or not leading me there? I said, all I know is this. If God is leading you, it'll be right and you'll know it. Amen. And God doesn't reveal it to everybody. He reveals it to you. Right. Now, He doesn't speak out audibly, but you know, you preachers, you pastors, you know that. You folks know that. These young people will experience that as the Lord saves them, as their lives are changed for God. Even Jesus Himself said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And then He says, on one occasion, I'll be subject unto the Father, that He, the Lord, may be all in all. You see, our lives are to be dedicated to the will of God. Now, that's not always easy, but it's the best. And let me tell you, when you're in the will of God, there's a peace that passeth all understanding. And I don't even understand it myself sometimes, but I know that God gives me peace about it. And He will you too. Jesus will always lead you, young people, to dedicate yourself to the will of God. Everybody has talent. Everybody has abilities. Everybody can be used of God. That's a child of God. That's scripturally baptized, a member of New Testament church. Every one of us has some talents we can use for God. Amen. We say sometimes that the children are the future of the church. Really, they are the church. You know, I mean, in so many words, they're the life here, and they give us a reason to preach and to teach and to just help them to grow and be saved and grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you know what? When our boys were raised, we got them raised out of Christian school and through college, and I said, phew, man, it's over. Woo! I was so relieved. I thought, boy, in this day and time, if you could just get your children raised and keep them out of jail and all those kind of things, you keep them in church, boy, you have done a great job. I said, it's over, it's over. I had a good deacon come by. He said, preacher, I need to tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, it's never over. It's never over. You know why? Because when your children get married, they have little kids that are your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And it starts all over. And you know what? That's wonderful. Man, there's nothing in the world like grandchildren. Woohoo! Is there? That's our reward for not killing our kids when they was growing up, right? To lead them in the right direction. Our job starts all over again. Secondly, Jesus will lead you into the right relationship with your parents. Not only will He lead you to dedicate yourself to the will of God, He'll lead you in the right relationship with your parents. Right. I don't know about you, but I never did like it when my parents were upset. I like it when they're happy. And Jesus will always lead you in the right relationship with your parents. The Bible says, all y'all know this, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Right? What does the Bible say? For this is right. I believe that, don't you? I believe that. I remember being a 16-year-old boy thinking my parents didn't know anything. I thought, man, they're not with it. When I got 21, I thought, man, they have learned a lot in 5 years. Wow. Smartest people I could tell ever know. Obey your parents in the Lord. Luke's gospel tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Remember, Christ came to the earth as a babe. Remember? A baby. And He was raised on the earth. 12 years old, He was talking with the doctors and lawyers. And they said, man, never a man spake like this man. I mean, the wisdom that he had. The Son of God. Now, here's the clincher. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Exodus, the 20th chapter, tells us to honor your father and your mother that thy days may be long upon the earth. Now, how long are you to obey your parents? As long as you put your feet under their table. As long as you sleep in their bed. You are. My boys, they got the bright idea they want to start getting a big allowance. I said, that's okay. I said, you name the price. They named the price. It's a pretty steep price. You ask a kid how much allowance you want, they're going to tell you, you know, several. Back then, you know, $10 was a lot of money back then. It still is to me today, but not to a lot of people. And I said, okay. I said, that's fine. Whatever allowance you want. And they said, Dad, this is too easy. What's going on here? I said, well, let's see. I took my pen out and I said, let's see. We're going to charge for the meals, every meal. That should be at least $5 a meal. We're going to charge for the bed and cleaning that room up and all that. And I just went down the list and doing the wash and, you know, and buying new clothes and all that stuff. Before it was over, they owed me so much money, they said, forget it, we don't want an allowance. But how long are you to honor your parents? That's a good question, isn't it? You're to obey them as long as you live in their house. I've got members of our church, and their son is in the military, actually in the National Guard, and they told both of their boys that are grown, and they've left home, and then occasionally they come back and live with their parents till they get enough money to go out on their own again. But these are men. They've served the military, been to Germany and everything, but they come home to live with their parents, and listen to this, you won't believe this. The parents tell them, if you live in our house, you're going to church with us. Every service. That's the way it ought to be. We've lost control. And I said to the fellow the other day, I said, boy, I appreciate your son coming. He said, preacher, you got to understand, he lives at our house. He said, he has to come here. That's the rule we have. So how long are you to honor your parents? You to obey them as long as you're in their home. How long are you to honor them? Forever. Forever. You never go wrong by honoring your parents. You say, I've heard people say, but you don't know my parents' age. I know what the Word of God says. You honor those parents. And so, Jesus will lead you to dedicate yourself to the will of God. Secondly, He will lead you to the right relationship with your parents. Third, He will lead you in regular habits of worship. He will lead you in that direction. Worship. To worship God. To come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible Institute, revivals, whatever. God will lead you, always lead you, in the regular habits of worship. If that's a good way to put it. Luke's Gospel tells us, and He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, as the custom was. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now listen, worship is important in your life. What's going on here? You know, sometimes we think, same old, same old, don't we? Going to church again. Where are you going? We have to go to church. No, we want to go to church. You know how I learned that? I used to say some things about my wife, and I'd get in trouble with her. And one day I said, I better not say anymore because I have to go home with her. Yeah. Brother Russell at my house the other day, 2 minutes from the church, in 2 minutes she said, I want to correct something you said this morning. I said, what's that? She said, you don't have to go home with me, you want to go home with me. So I learned a very valuable lesson. We don't have to go to church, we want to go to church. Amen. We have the privilege. Listen, to worship God is a privilege. It is an honor. And God will always lead you to worship Him, the true and living God. The devil has all kinds of allurements. He has all kinds of devices. He has all kinds of distractions. I've worked on a sermon. I got it in my Bible. I haven't had the liberty to preach it yet. But the sermon is, what distracts you during the worship service? What is it? Do you know we have to get up in some of our services and announce, please turn off your cell phones? We never used to have to worry about that, did we? Please don't text message during the church service. You know, please don't do that. You know what? Here's what I feel. I feel that if we call the preaching service the time here, let's say we call that the worship service. It's all worship, but let's just say we do. That's 30 minutes on Sunday morning, 30 minutes on Sunday night, 30 minutes on Wednesday night. Now, if you could include the whole service, say an hour, 3 hours, a week, can we not come apart from the world and forget those things that are out there and worship God? Amen. You know, God will always lead us into the things that we should do, and worshiping Him is something that's for our benefit. It honors and glorifies Him, but it's for our benefit. Listen, I can tell you how it works. You ever gone to church on a service and you didn't feel really good and you just didn't know if you should go get out of the house and go and you didn't feel as well as you normally would? And you go, and when you leave, you feel so much better. I was, one summer we were going to church and it was real hot, and I'd been out that day and we'd been cutting grass at church, stuff like that. Man, that night we was on the way to church, I told my wife, I said, man, I am so tired. I said, you know, if I wasn't a preacher, I probably wouldn't go tonight, you know? But I told the people that to say this. I went, and I was blessed. Amen. I was blessed. Now, if you're sick and contagious, you know, use judgment. But my dad said, if you're not in the morgue, you ought to be there. You know, that's the way he preached. Then fourthly, Jesus will lead you to give yourself for others. No, Jesus Christ Himself went about doing good. He did good. People knew who He was. They were encouraged to see Him. Jesus gave encouragement to those who were in distress. He gave hope to those who were depressed. Hey, what is our lives about? Just for me and mine and our four and no more? No. Our lives are about others. Brother Orville and Sister Marie were telling me, they said, when they come over to church here, they said, when they got to carry food in. Y'all eat every Sunday. I bet you have a big crowd, don't you? I think I'll start coming. But he said every Sunday they come over, and Josh and KJ are out there helping people carry the food in. That's about other people. You know how you really get blessed? Is start doing something for other people. Not thinking about, why don't they do that for me? Think about other people. Every time a pastor goes in a hospital and he's able to walk out of that hospital, you thank God you can walk out of that hospital. Amen. Every time you go in there on a deathbed and a person dies, we just had a 59-year-old man that died, and I preached his funeral. And I was, my wife and I was there with his wife when that man breathed his last breath, went out into eternity. I felt so sorry for her. They don't have any children. He was an inventor with Procter & Gamble. I mean, a man of high knowledge, PhD and all that. But he went out into eternity. And I'd left that hospital. I'd been right in that same room. My mother almost died right there. And you know what? When I left the hospital that night, I was praising God that He spared my mother's life. Didn't have to, but he did. I thank God for that. This lady would preach the funeral, and all the family was there, and some of them weren't saved. Had the opportunity to preach the funeral. You know, I was talking about Brother Jim having this funeral and being nervous about it and so forth. I remember when God was calling me to preach, that I said, Lord, I don't mind some of that stuff, but I don't want to preach any funeral. I just can't do that. You know, I'm just nothing. But then after I became a pastor and I saw that you could help people and you go to a funeral service and you're the preacher and you can preach the gospel and people can hear the gospel and maybe the Lord will save somebody. It's all about helping other people. In my ministry, after a few years, I just got up and told the people, I said, this is not about me. This is about God, but my ambition is not for myself. My ambition is for these that come behind me to help them and encourage them and challenge them and to give them what they need to live in this old wicked world in which we live, to be have on the full armor of God. It's for them. And you know, the blessings in life come because you reach out to other people and you help other people. They don't ever have to say thank you or anything. You just see what God does in their life. And so, young people, I would encourage you to keep up being nice and helpful to these folks and all those kind of things. God gave food to the hungry. He gave guidance to the uncertain. He gave comfort to the grieving. And He gave His life fully on the cross, the ultimate sacrifice. He did it for us. We talked about that all week. He did it for me. He did it for me. Do we grasp that? Man, he grasped that last night. I told him, I said, man, you blessed my heart. He did all that for people like me and like you. Wow. The last thing, then Christ will lead you into the heavenly home. He says in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We were singing that song a while ago, In a Land Where We'll Never Grow Old. And I heard a preacher say this one time, and I thought a lot about it. The more people that we know and love that have gone over on the other side to the Lord, be with the Lord, the more homesick we get. I want to go back. I want to go there and be with some people that have been wonderful to me in my life. Most of all, I want to see Jesus, because He's the one that died for me. Amen. That's the one. Then I think I'd like to see the Apostle Paul. I'd just like to, you know, we're going to have glorified bodies, so I don't know. But we'll be known, you know, as we're known. And I don't know how all that works out. I don't have it all figured out. Maybe you do. But just have a glorified body. No aches, no pains, no sorrow, no suffering. Amen. No goodbyes, no funerals, no hospitals. Hey, we'll be there with a great physician. We won't need anybody else. We'll be there with the sun. We won't need any light other than Him. Heaven is a wonderful place, and it's filled with glory and grace. Oh, and I want to see my Savior's face. Don't you? I do. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, young people, and I'd ask you to mark this down. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I've often thought about this, that if the first part of that scripture was just there, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that would be blessing enough. That's it. We don't deserve the last part of this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He's first place, number one, numero uno. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Man, that's where the blessings are. But then He adds this, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Think about that. He takes care of everything. Why do we worry? Why do we fret? He takes care of it all.
When the gas prices were so high, and that was on everybody's mind, and they were telling me today that Josh prays about the gas. Amen. Josh, keep on praying about the gas price. But I met with the church, you know, and had service that night, and the thought came to me, hey, just thank God that He's provided the money for us to buy the expensive gas. Amen. Now, when gas got down to $3.39 a gallon in our place, I went and filled up 3 5-gallon cans because I thought, sure, it's going to go over $4. They're still set in my garage. I can't sell them. God takes care of everything, doesn't He? I don't ever worry about where we're going to eat the next meal. All we worry about is what we're going to eat. What would you like to have? Well, I don't know. We had that last night. God provides for us. My dad, the first church he ever pastored, they were a halftime church in Arkansas. He said, I'm not a halftime preacher. I'm a full-time preacher. They said, you can come full-time preach if you want to. I don't know who'll be here, but we're not going to pay you but halftime. And so we went out there, $25 every other week. But you know what? We didn't starve to death. God provided.
Amen.
We didn't have new clothes. We didn't even have used clothes. We had handed-down clothes with patches on them. My dad had a service station business on the Arkansas-Missouri line where we had a new home, new car, new clothes, everything. God called him to preach, and we hit the bottom of the barrel. $25 every other week. 2 boys at school. But we never did without a meal. We did have clothes. They were clean. I think we learned more right there than at any time in our lives.
Amen.
Because we realized that everything that we had, God gave it to us. If we got a quarter, we were thrilled to death. If somebody invited us over to their house and they had Cokes, we weren't used to Cokes. Pop. We didn't have that in our house. And we had to ask our parents. If when people would say, can your children have one of these Cokes? We had to ask our parents because we weren't used to having it. Can they have one? We'd look at our parents, can we? Yeah, you can have one. We never ate out. We didn't know what that was about, and there wasn't McDonald's everywhere then. We never went on vacation because we didn't have the money. The only time we ever went any place is if Dad was in a revival meeting. People would keep us in their home. They'd cook stuff sometimes that we didn't like. We ate a lot of butter and bread, man. A lot of butter and bread. The happiest people on earth are not necessarily the most popular or the wealthiest. The happiest people are those that you know who are those who have given their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ and are sincerely and honestly seeking to follow Him day by day and week by week. You'd be very wise to follow Jesus Christ throughout all the days of your lives. Jesus will never lead you wrong. He will always lead you right. And it's always right to do the right thing. And it's always wrong to do the wrong thing. Young people, if I could say something to you today that you could remember about all of this, keep your eyes on the Lord. Follow Him. You'll never go wrong. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. I don't know where I'd be. I know probably how I would be without You and Your Word. I pray that You would watch over these young people. You would protect them. You'd put a hedge about them. I pray that this week that those of us who be doing the preaching and teaching, and those who will be here doing other things, will all set the example that these young people need to see from us and to follow. I thank You for children. I thank You for their little hearts and their little lives and their joy. their love for their families and love for the Lord. And I pray, dear Lord, that none of us would be a stumbling block, but that we might be a stepping stone, that we might point them to Christ. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and ask it all. Amen.